Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power, and we are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're doing a study on the topic of the edification of the body, the edification of the body. And what does that mean? How is it that we edify one another, and what the scripture tells us regarding this subject. So we hope that it's going to be a blessing for you. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to all of our podcasts. Just hit the podcast tab, or you can also subscribe to us on iTunes or download the app that it's both available for Android and the App Store. It's absolutely free, and you're able to have access to all of our podcasts on demand on your phone, on the go, to be able to listen to all of these lessons, all of our podcasts. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page where you can write to us, or you can also send us an email at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. It's always a blessing to be able to listen, to be able to hear from our listeners. Send us your prayer requests, questions, concerns, and we'll be happy to answer you back. Or you can also contact us at 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. Father, we pray for your people that they may have understanding and wisdom, Father, to receive your message. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
dark the scar he showed.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. Tonight we're doing a topical study into the edification of the body. A few weeks ago we discussed the temple of God, and we looked in the Bible how it says that every single Christian who's placed their faith upon Christ makes up the temple of God, because the God dwells in us. God dwells in the midst of us, and he dwells in us individually. God sees his people as one. We are one. We are unified in Jesus Christ. And there's no better example of this than the fact that God calls us the body of Christ. The scripture calls us the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12 verse 5 says, "So we being many are one body, and every one members one of another." There is a special unification that we have with God, as well as we have with each other. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 has this to say. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So there's a great emphasis that the scripture tells us in the unity that we have as believers, that we are one body together. And when we look at the human body, it's incredible in the way that God has designed it, the way that God has made it up. It's made up of different systems and different components, of which all are dependent upon each other. You see, this is more than just an illustration of how we are together, but how we depend on one another. How it is important to understand that what happens in the circle of believers affects all of us, affects the all believers in Jesus Christ, because we are dependent one upon another. A body that has one of its faculties or one of its limbs immobile or missing has become greatly limited or incapacitated in the things that it can do. You can ask a person who is missing a limb or who has to be, who is on a wheelchair, and they can tell you that some of the simplest things that we often take for granted become difficult and burdensome tasks for someone who is missing an arm, missing a leg, or is not able to walk, or is paralyzed. And with this in mind, it's no wonder why the Bible makes emphasis about building up the body of Christ. A body that is not built up is weak and incapacitated, and is the reason when we look at what's been going on in the world in the last couple of years, the reason why the world has been winning is because we as the body of Christ have become greatly hindered, have become greatly incapacitated. Never has there been such a rapid advance of wickedness like there has been in the last 10, 15 years in our society. I mean, if we think back in 2003, which is the year when I graduated from high school, homosexuality was still a taboo. It was still something that was shameful to be proclaimed in public. Now, they're getting married in our churches. Now it's acceptable, it's fashionable, it's greatly defended. And that's just one example of some of the things that have come out in the open in just a short amount of years. And the truth is, we have failed to be the light. And the Bible says that when the salt ceases to lose its flavor, its saltiness, it is worthy only to be cast out and trampled under men's feet. Society is always going towards decay and destruction. There's no hope for the world. But we as the church, when we are not in our place, when we don't do what we're called to do, that process happens much quicker and much faster. So what are some things that could be done in order to build up the body in these days that we're living in? What are some of the things that we should do individually and that we should do in our Christian circles? I want to go to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and let us look at verse 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Paul tells us here that we ought to be built up, we are to be rooted and built up in Christ, in Jesus Christ. And what does that mean when the Bible speaks about Christ? Now, we looked at that when we went through our study in the book of 1 John. And first of all, Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. No Christian can be built up, can grow into maturity without studying, without searching and reading the Word of God. Look what the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25-30. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So we see here that the Apostle Paul, the emphasis that he's making, just like a husband is the head of the wife, that he should also love her as Christ loved the church, because the church is the body of Christ. And he makes a very important point of the purpose of the Word of God. In verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. And we see that the purpose of the Word of God, the purpose why we should be reading the Word of God daily, is for cleansing. Washing of the water by the Word. Yes, we get cleansed once and for all. Our sins are cleansed once and for all by the blood of Jesus. But we wash daily in the Word of God. Now, how many of you listening right now shower regularly? It was interesting when I was working on the study, I actually did a little research of what happens if you were to stop bathing. And do you know that if you were to stop showering or bathing regularly, you will increase the chance of skin infections and diseases that can pass in through your eyes, nose, and throat that could potentially make you really sick? When you get cut, when you have a wound on your skin, the first thing that we do is wash it, because otherwise it will get infected. And infections can spread quickly, very quickly, to other parts of the body. When we look at the Old Testament, we see that there's an emphasis. Many of the instructions that we're giving with regards to Old Testament rituals involved washing. Brothers and sisters, we need to wash in the Word of God daily. Each and every day, me and you are exposed to the filth of this world. And how are we going to change? How are we going to grow if we don't sit down and see God's point of view for our lives? And we see that so many of the things that are going on in the church of people going in the wrong direction, it's all because of false doctrine. It's all because they're listening to lies. And it's spreading. It spreads like a disease. The false doctrines that are continually given to us. It's like instead of washing with purified water or with clean water, you're washing with sugar water that only increases the amount of bacteria on your skin. That only makes you dirtier, makes you sticky to pick up even more germs and more dirt. There's so much filth that we pick up from our daily living. Experiences that we have at work, when we clash, when we're in traffic and we get angry because we live in a place where filled with bad drivers, the things we hear people say around us, it's all filth. So we need to have a time where we can come before God and allow His Word to purify our minds, to purify our hearts. We need to cleanse our minds daily by the Word of God. When we come to church, the purpose of listening to preaching so that we can be washed of the unclean practices and the toxic ways of thinking, we need to get into the Word of God. And the issue is, brothers and sisters, is that we are surrounded with so much technology, with so much entertainment, that it makes it difficult for us to be able to focus. And we don't realize how much of a tool of Satan technology is being used against us. I'm not saying that technology is not useful. I'm not saying that it doesn't help us make our lives easier. But when we become obsessed with it, it becomes our master. In fact, I was reading an article about children experiencing addiction to technology at very young ages. Young people suffering with diseases that are typically, with ailments that are typically experienced with elderly people, because a lot of younger people are, instead of being active, instead of going out and running and playing basketball, they're sitting down on their couches with their iPads and their iPhones or on the computer playing their video games, and their bodies are wearing away. It's a very serious thing. When we look at what has happened to our society, we can see that there's something sinister behind this. The devil wants us to sell our souls. He wants us to live for pleasure and to live for fun. But God wants us to spend time with Him. God wants us to abide in Him. And the reason why so much of the body has become sick is because instead of cleansing with the Word of God, they try substitutes. They want books or motivational speakers. And what happens is, brothers and sisters, when infection sets in, there comes a point when the only thing that is left is amputation. When we have people that are called Christians and that they don't want anything to know with the truth, they want to remain believing lies, then there comes to a point where we have to separate. There comes a point where we have to say, okay, you know, obviously we believe very differently and we just have to part and go our ways. But we need to have that time in this busy world that we live in, making sure that we are getting our minds into the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that will transform our thinking, and it is the transformation of our thinking that will transform our behavior. And the problem that is going on today is a result of ignorance of the Word of God. We have many movements, Christian movements, that happened long before computers and the technology we have was around. All these men had were the King James Bible and maybe some commentaries of other preachers. And because they studied the Word of God and they believed the Word of God, they were able to impact cities and nations for Jesus Christ. And if we want to be the effective body, if we want to be strong, then we need to be cleansed in the Word of God daily.
Amen. One of the things that we could see throughout the Bible is that the devil has always tried to steer God's people in the wrong way. And one of the biggest things that happens, brothers and sisters, is that he uses people whom many of us believe. And that's why in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits." You know, we see when Jesus was being tempted, the devil did not use force against Jesus. He used words. And one of the things that he did was twist the scriptures. And like my brother Javer just mentioned, what's happening with a lot of us, it's the same thing. There's people who are twisting God's word, and a lot of us are believing it. I want to look at the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 24. And this is something that Jesus said. It says, "If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand." Now, one of the biggest problems we have, brothers and sisters, and this is something that we could see in YouTube and on television and stuff, we have pastors who are cursing members of the church. There was an incident where a pastor cursed a lady because she left his church. And he said to her that because she left his anointing, and therefore she was cursed. There was another guy that was angry at certain individuals that had said something, and he cursed them on national TV. Now, I want to look at something, brothers and sisters, in the book of Numbers, so that we could understand, brothers and sisters, that when we have God in us, nobody can curse us. And this is in verse 22 of the book of Numbers. This talks about Balak and Balaam. This individual, Balak, summoned Balaam so he could curse Israel. And we see that when he went over there to ask him to curse Israel, this is what the Bible says in Numbers 23:11. "Balak said to Balaam, 'What have you done to me? I brought you to curse the enemies, but you have done nothing but bless them.'" And the reason that that happened, brothers and sisters, because when Balaam went and asked God for direction, God told him, "You're not going to do this." And the Bible says that he told them that he wasn't going to go with him, and he wasn't going to go over there and curse the Israelites. And this is what happens, brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God. If you're a man that has received Jesus Christ, or a woman who has received Jesus Christ, We don't need to accept anybody that says is going to curse us. We don't need to receive those words. The only ones that curse are the people who conduct witchcraft. This is something they do. They curse. They do incantations. They do all these things. But the power of God is greater than any curses that could be out there. So if we have the Holy Spirit, if we have God protecting us, then we shouldn't be worried about any enemies, because God is stronger than any enemies that are out there. And one of the biggest problems we need to understand, and this also applies when you go out there, for an example, in deliverance, you need to make sure that you know that who's in you, and the power of God is greater than the power of the devil. Because one of the things that that's going to happen is the devil is going to try to intimidate you, try to think that God is not in you, and that God will not flow through you to do what God wants you to do. So one of the things we need to understand, brothers and sisters, is that we don't bow down to the devil. The devil does not have power over us. Jesus won that battle at the cross. We need to appropriate ourselves with the power of God and apply this power to our circumstances. And the reason why many Christians are walking now defeated is because you're listening to people like the ones I mentioned that are cursing Christians, and then they are receiving this curse because nobody's taught them how to fight. And that's a big problem here, brothers and sisters, that we have nowadays when we're listening to these people that call themselves pastors, which are pastors of the devil.
One of the things the Bible tells us is that the ministers of Satan are able to disguise themselves. That means that they're able to copy the speech. There it means that they're able to look like a legitimate Christian, but they have sinister motives. And another way that we equip ourselves is by the anointing. And Christ is the anointing. The anointing with the Spirit of God. A body without a spirit is dead. What made the difference between Adam and dirt was the fact that God had breathed into him the breath of life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the scripture says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." What's interesting about that word breath, the breath of life, it's a word neshama, which also means spirit. Likewise, the body of Christ that does not have the filling of the Holy Spirit is a useless one. If the body is not filled with the Spirit of God, we are useless. Look at what the scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And we as Christians ought to sow into the Spirit. If we want to be built up in Christ and rooted in him, then we are to follow his example and sow into the Spirit. And to sow into the Spirit is to invest ourselves into that which will stand for all eternity. If the material world was to disappear right now, what would you be left with? Houses crumble, cars stop working and become rusted, electronics become obsolete, money runs out or loses its value. Even physical pleasure comes to an end. Eventually, you will reach a point where you can't even have physical relations anymore. And brothers and sisters, the only thing that truly matter, the only thing that will remain, is our relationship with God. That which we have done through him, that which we have poured into others. See, to sow into the Spirit, the point here where it says to sow into the flesh or to sow into the Spirit, it means that there's actions that need to be done. Sowing is something that you continually do. When you sow seed into a field, you go and you dig a trench and you put the seeds inside and you close it up again and you water it. It's something that you continually do. If you continually live for your flesh, if you continually live for your desires, then the only thing that's gonna come out of your life is death. Death in your relationships, death in what you do, and death in your spiritual life. You will wither away because the path of life is the path of the cross. It's to sow into the Spirit. It's not about material things or about physical pleasure. See, you can leave your son or daughter a fortune and it will one day be wasted. But you can instill in them the fear of God and that will last forever. See, to sow into the Spirit is to give ourselves to prayer. To fill our minds with thoughts of God. To fill our minds with the Word of God and to obey and walk in the Word. To sow into the Spirit is to do the things that please God, not that please ourselves. And that's why the Bible tells us that there's this battle going on inside of us. The flesh against the Spirit. The flesh wants what it wants, and the Spirit of God wants you to do what is right. And the truth is, whenever we live for ourselves, we live in regret. We live in shame. We live in guilt. A person who lives a selfish life will not be satisfied because God didn't make us that way. God made us to be satisfied in giving ourselves because that's what really love is about. If there's one word to define love, it's sacrifice. Love is sacrifice. And when we love God, the way we show that we love God is by giving of ourselves to Him, by giving of our time to Him, by giving of our resources to Him, by sowing into others. You can change the life of a person by discipling. Isn't that one of the commandments that Jesus told us? He says, go out making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Making disciples. Making disciples is not saying, hey, would you like to accept Jesus in your heart? Repeat a prayer and goodbye, never see you again. No, making disciple means you're sowing into that person. It means you're walking with them and you're teaching them about the Word in the same way that you nurture a baby. It takes time, it takes patience, and it takes sacrifice, and we need to invest into one another. The beautiful thing about the body is that the body, the way that God designed the body, He designed it for it to heal itself. When it gets a cut, immediately the white blood cells go and fight off any infection. It's amazing the capacity that the body has to be able to repair itself. And this is the unification that God tells us. Now, how can we operate if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit? Even Jesus told His disciples, He says, just wait until the promise of the Spirit and then you will receive power. The power comes from the Spirit of God. We will not be able to convince the world through eloquent speech. We will not be able to convince the world through great music and wonderful light shows. What's going to change the world is the Spirit of God in us, is the Spirit of Christ seen in us that will cause the world to change and to see that there's something truly different, or at least some people, not even the world. The world will never accept the message of Christ. The world hates God. Even Jesus says, the world hateth me, and it hates you because you follow me. That's what Jesus said. So how do we expect that by trying to do things that will appeal the flesh will actually bring transformation? We need to speak the truth and speak into people's hearts, and they need to see it in us. Because they could see when we're not genuine. They can see it. They see it on television all the time. They see these politicians that come in day after day, lie after lie. And they need to see something genuine. They need to see the truth. Because it's the truth that sets people free. It's the truth of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the life, and the truth. And no one comes to the Father but through him. And they need to see Jesus in us. They need to see the Spirit of God. And the way we do that is by sowing into the Spirit, seeking him day after day, the power of God, so that we may walk above sin, so that we have the power to overcome sin. That's our responsibility. That's what God has called us to do.
Amen. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whosoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that we need to understand is that we are not called to curse people. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 14, says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We're not told to curse anybody. We're told to bless. And perhaps you say, why? Well, one of the reasons this happens, brothers and sisters, because there's things tied to curses. For an example, there's root things like hate. There's anger. And there's many other things that are tied to it, that these are not the fruits of the Spirit. This is not what God wants for a Christian man, especially for a leader in the church. How can being a leader is something very hard, brothers and sisters, because you're going to have people which at one time or another are going to offend you. You know, everybody that walks into a church is not a Christian. And a lot of times people come with different entities in them. And when they come in there, they say things that perhaps you may not like. And you need to know how to deal with this thing. And in order to deal with these type of things, we need to have patience. We need to love an individual. You cannot help an individual that you don't love or care for. And one of the characters of Jesus is that Jesus loved people and he cared for people. And that's why he was willing to go to the cross and died for us sinners. And that's the most incredible action that we could see in Jesus, that Jesus did not just die for the Christians. He didn't just die for the Jews. He died for all humanity to give you a chance to come to him. And it's so hard for me to understand, brothers and sisters, because people, they hate you. They don't want to even deal with you. They speak bad about you. They curse you. You know, they badmouth you. They try to get you in trouble. But they're not going to be praying for you. So we see that the character of Jesus and the character of a Christian is completely different than a man of the world, especially somebody that's under the control of Satan. Because what Satan wants to do is to steal, rob, and destroy. That's what the Bible says. That's what his intention is. That's what he tries to do. He tries to tell you and that he's going to give you certain things. But in the long run, he's going to take your soul. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we need to know the Word of God. We need to know an individual. We need to learn our scripture. So when somebody says something that doesn't align with the Bible, then we need to question that person. And if that person doesn't want to listen to what we need to, what we're saying, then you need to find yourself another church. You can't be in a church where somebody's cursing, a leader of a church is cursing individuals of the congregation. That doesn't line up with scripture.
I want to touch on another point on how it is that the body is edified. And another way that the body is edified is when everyone does what they are called to do. The scripture tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, And then the scripture says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 1, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? One of the things that we're seeing here is that the purpose of the gifts, the purpose why the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, is for the edifying of the church. The purpose why God has callings, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, is for the edifying of the church. And the purpose of these gifts are not so that we can make a career or a profession in the church, but is so that we can use these gifts that God has given us to build people up, to use it for the church. And this is why it's so important. Every single believer has a gift. Sometimes a gift may not be a gift of preaching. It may not be a gift of teaching, but it may be a gift of administering, of giving, of being able to serve in the church in other different ways in administration. There's the gift of helps. And all of these gifts are essential for the body of Christ. But what happens is that we live in a time where the gifts that are more emphasized is prophecy, miracles, and healing. And we forget about these other essential gifts that the Holy Spirit also makes mention through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All these gifts are important in the church. And when a believer chooses not to exercise their gift, they incapacitate in some way the church. When a person that is called to a ministry does not exercise the ministry, there is something missing there. There is something lacking. And this is precisely what happens when you, and I'm not trying to bash large churches, but when you look at mega churches, it seems like the majority of the people just go there to receive. And the purpose of the building up is so that we can all get into a position and so that we can all multiply within the community. It's so that we can do what we're called to do. And the leaders are to equip those in the church to help them to find out what that gift is so that they may exercise it. Because a pastor can't do it alone. The evangelist can't do it alone. We as Christians are all servants of God. We as Christians represent Him in the community. We are the body. We are the feet. We are the hands of Jesus. And when we lay our hands on people to pray for them, people that God puts in our way, they're the very hands of Jesus. When we walk somewhere to evangelize, we're the very feet of Jesus. And I think what it is, brothers and sisters, is that we become so familiar with these concepts because we don't meditate on the Word of God. If we really sit down and meditate on the fact that we are called the body of Christ and to really understand the implications of that, I think that we would value it much more. But because we're not a meditative generation, we're a consuming generation. We consume information and details and knowledge and data. But we don't really stop to contemplate things. And that's something that the men of old we're accustomed to doing, that we look out into the universe and contemplate. We don't do that. We're always on the go. We have Google. Google is our God. We don't realize what we're missing out on. Every single one of us has a calling. It may not be a calling for a pastor. It may not be a calling for a preacher. But it may be a calling to serve, to be in service to others, to, because God's giving you that heart. Maybe you're called to be a teacher. And perhaps in the day and age that we're living in, perhaps you can't find a decent church to join in. But hey, you can start a Bible study. You can find someone, or even your own family, that you can teach. But the only way we're going to get things moving, the only way we're going to have an impact on our community, is by doing what we're called to do. And there's also specific warning that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to specifically those that are leaders and servants and that have others to which they minister to. As Brother Lewis was mentioning earlier today, there's men out there that take advantage of their position and use it for control. And I believe Jesus gives a special warning to people that are in those positions. And this is found in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 42 through 48. And the scripture says, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." What the Lord Jesus is saying is that depending on your position in the church, there is accountability. We talked about this when we spoke about the temple of God and how God says those that will destroy the temple, those that will hinder his people, God will destroy them. And Jesus speaking about this unfaithful servant that took advantage of his position to manipulate people. It says to beat them, to begin to eat and have banquets and to live for their pleasure instead of serving those that are below them, or those whom they have appointed to serve. God will hold them accountable. And that's why, brothers and sisters, when we have a desire to be a leader in the ministry or in the church, that we should understand that on that day of judgment, we will be judged differently, because there would be more expected of leaders than of everybody else. But we have the Spirit of God, brothers and sisters. God has given us promises. And as we join together, if we step into the calling that God has for every single one of us, and we abide in the Word of God, we daily wash in the Word of God, and we seek the fellowship of the Spirit, we ask God to reveal to us what is the position and the gift He's given us, and exercise it, we will begin to see a change in our community, or at least a slowing down of the increase of wickedness, because we are the salt, and one of the purposes of salt is to slow down decay. We may not be able to reverse it, but at least we can slow it down.
Amen. We are not in bondage anymore, brothers and sisters. The book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says this: "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. This is so incredible, brothers and sisters. We need to understand the importance that Christ paid the price. We are no longer under bondage and under curse. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful how we speak to our children and how we speak to other people in our congregation and even speak to worldly people. Because what we say could hurt other people. If you tell your children that he'll never amount to anything because he's not doing well in school, you're destroying that child. Instead, motivate him, bless him, lift him up, encourage that child. When you speak to your wife, how do you speak to her? Perhaps she's not the best cook in the world, but do you thank her? Do you bless her? How do you, wife, speak to your husband? How do you talk about your job with other people? All these things, brothers and sisters, may not seem much. But if you take the proper approach and bless yourself in the morning, bless yourself in the evening, and bless yourself at night, and bless others. And a blessing is like a boomerang. When you send it out, it'll come back. You know, one of the things that Brother Javer spoke about earlier was about sowing. And one of the things that I've been able to see is that the people that sow, they always have more. And you wonder, how is it that, you know, these people are giving and they got more? And the people that don't give, they're struggling. Look at all the billionaires that we have in this country and around the world, and they're givers. They may not give to the right cause, but they give. And the same way what we give, if we give love, if we bless others, we're going to receive that in return. This is what God wants. What did Jesus say when he was in the cross? He didn't say, God, curse these people. He didn't say that. These were the people that were, they hung them on the cross, that, you know, went up there and said, kill them. And yet he said, God, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Can you imagine? What would you do if you were in a situation like that? Would you bless the people that persecuted you? The people that attack you? You know, one of the things that happens, brothers and sisters, when you bless somebody that is trying to do something bad to you, it'll freak them out. Because they're not expecting that type of reaction. And you know, perhaps, maybe by being that way, that person will say, let me find out, you know, how is this person different? And perhaps that person can become a Christian too. One thing Jesus did, he imitated the Father. And one thing that we're all called to do is imitate Jesus. Father God, tonight we thank you for everything you've done, Father. Father, thank you for blessing us, even though when we were evil, Father, we did things against you. You still loved us and you showed us that you cared about us, Father. So much that you came to earth to give us the things that we don't deserve. Father, let us learn how to be loving, careful people. People that don't hate, but love and bless others. Father God, tonight we want to pray for Koji, a young man, Father, that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ against all odds. Father, we pray that you lift him up, that you encourage him, and you will empower him, Father, to fulfill the mission that you have for his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We thank you again for listening tonight. We hope that tonight's broadcast has been a blessing to you. Remember, you can visit us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or you can contact us at 305-320-RRAP or 305-320-7727. Thank you again for listening tonight. We pray that the Lord bless you.